Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, this morning. We give you the praise and give you the glory. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Lord, we honor you this morning because you are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. And every time we come in the house of God, we get a chance to hear a word from you. And we know, Lord, that every time that word is spoken, there is an uplift, there is life that comes into our lives. And again this morning, we pray the same. We give you all the praise and glory, and we ask you, Lord, glorify yourself in the message of the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen,
amen somebody.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, you know, I'm going to preach for just a few minutes this morning on what is in your hand. What is in your hand? You know, that's the message I'm going to preach. I want everybody to listen to it this morning. I'm going to start here in Exodus chapter 4. Now, what is in your hand? That is the message that I want to preach this morning. And if you listen, you're going to get a real blessing and things are going to be different in your life. Amen.
Amen.
If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Well, I think, you know, this is the way I think about it. Every time that I get a chance to speak the word in the house of the Lord, you know, I think of the people that are coming, you know, to church that morning. And I think that, you know, they deserve a word that God wants to speak, you know, so amen. So I spend, you know, I give my time to myself to prayer and, you know, the word of God and so forth, because I believe that people take their time to come to church and they ought to hear a good word from the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Exodus chapter 4, and I'm going to read verse 2. And the Lord said, now this is the Lord talking to Moses. The Lord said unto him, what is in your hand? What is in thy hand? And he said, a rod. You know, so this was the exchange between Moses and the Lord when the Lord was fixing to send him back to Egypt to go and get the kid, the children of Israel out of there. You know, and so the Lord, he told him a few things, you know, showed him what he would be able to do with that rod that was in his hand and so on like that. And, you know, he learned a few tricks from the Lord. You know, I call it tricks, but it isn't really tricks. You know, God, you know, as a power of God, I was walking with him. But it was, you know, the point here is that God asked him, what is in your hand? You know, what he had in his hand was, you know, was a rod. You know, that's all he had. And Moses didn't think anything about it at all. He thought it was just a rod. You see, what is just a stick in your hand can become a miracle when you hand it over to God. Amen? That's right. You know, the little thing that you have, which you think nothing of at all, is the very thing that God wants to use. In fact, the beginning of your miracle is within you already. How many of you can say amen? You know, what God wants to do for you begins already in your hand. And some of you already got the beginning of your miracle in your hand, but you are looking for something else. You are looking elsewhere because you don't recognize how God works. You know, so this message is designed to help you this morning to see that. Now I want to read Exodus chapter 14 and see some of the things that God, you know, this rod that was in his hand, which Moses thought nothing about, you know, once the anointing of God came upon it, it became something else altogether. You know, and he wrought, of course, we know he wrought great miracles, you know, when he went down into Egypt. You know, he touched the sea, it became blood, you know, he did all kinds of things and so forth. But here's one notable one that God will ask him to do here in Exodus chapter 14. And we see that Pharaoh was chasing them down after they left Egypt, and their backs were against to the Red Sea, and Pharaoh was coming down against them and so forth. And Moses had told the people, he said in verse 13 of Exodus 14, stand ye still, appear not, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more after today forever. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord shall fight for you, he said, and ye shall hold your peace. Well, you know, and he was saying all of that and so forth. And the Lord said to Moses, look, Why are you crying to me already about this thing? You know, wherefore criest thou unto me? You know, speak. You know, I don't need to cry. Speak unto the children of Israel, you know, and let them go forward. Forward only, backwards never. Amen.
Amen.
God wants you to go forward. Doesn't matter whether you are standing at the brink of the sea and it looks like there is no way, God still wants you to go forward. Hallelujah, somebody. You know, you say, well, how am I going to go? The children of Israel said, well, how are we going to go forward? You know, where if you're in the Red Sea, and they began to grumble and complain, and your mama and say, why did you bring us out here? Were there no graves in Egypt that we should have died there? You know, and so forth, like that. At least we could have died and be buried in the land and so forth. Why are we going to die out here in the sea? I mean, where are we going to go? The chariots are running down against us over here, you know, and they're going to catch up with us in a few minutes, and the Red Sea is in front of us. There's no place to go, but God said, go forward. Amen. Praise God. You know, and until you go forward, the Red Sea will remain a Red Sea. But the moment your foot steps on that sea, it will be parted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
But here's what the Lord told Moses. He said, why are you crying unto me? And so forth. He said, look, what's in your hand? Lift up your rod that is in your hand. And stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go over on dry ground, even in the midst of the sea. Hallelujah. So that very thing that was in your hand that you thought was nothing at all, use it and stretch it over the sea, the Lord told him. Praise God. Now, I'm going to just show you a few examples in the Bible of how God uses what is already in your hand to bring about the miracle that he's going to do for you. Now, I'm going to also say something about this right now, something that I want you to listen and learn and let it sink into your mind. God does not play dice with your lives. He doesn't just throw your lives out and just, well, whatever happens, happens. No, he doesn't do that. Amen? He's got everything timed to precision. He's got it all. He knows exactly what he's doing. And God doesn't waste your life either. You know, the very thing that God is going to use in your life is already within you because he's a great creator. You know, he doesn't do things in your life as an afterthought. He doesn't do that. Amen? Hello?
Yes.
God doesn't do things in your life as an afterthought.
Amen.
You know, he's already got it all planned out. You know, so what do you, you know, what you are facing today, there was something, you know, that God already brought you through before that would have made you ready for today. You only need to think about it, you know. And what you're going through today is getting you ready for something else. That's exactly the way God works.
Amen.
Whatever God is going to use to you to do in your life is already in you.
Yes.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I mean, the anointing may increase, you know, and it will when you seek the Lord, but it is, there's nothing new. You know, there is nothing new that he's going to do that he hasn't already placed in you. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to show you some examples in the Bible. You know, when people thought, well, you know, we have nothing. And God said, what you have is enough. You know, just give it to me. Praise God. And I can walk with that. You know, well, see, God, you know, we know that God, and you've heard me preach this all the time, God can call things that are not as though they are. He can speak things out of nothing into existence. You know, that's when he's dealing as the Elohim. That's when he's dealing as himself. You know, but he doesn't always do that when he's dealing with us. When he's dealing with human beings throughout the scriptures, he wants you to be a partner with him. Hallelujah, somebody. You know, he wants you to be a part of the miracle. He wants you to be a part of the process. And he doesn't just do things, you know, just out of nothing, you know, when he's dealing like that. We know he can, but most of the time he wants you to do something. And if you give him something that you already have that he can work with. I'm going to show you some examples about that this morning. Now, let's look at, you know, the young lad, you know, in John chapter 6. And this story is in all of the Gospels. You know, different renditions of his story, but I'm going to read this one in John chapter 6. This story, Jesus, of course, you know, many of you have heard how he preached to multitudes and fed multitudes with just, you know, a couple of, you know, loaves of bread and just a handful of small fishes. You know, we've seen how he did that throughout the scriptures. It's in Matthew, it's in Mark, it's in Luke, it's in John. But I'm going to read the account in John, from John chapter 6. And I want to read from verse 5. John chapter 6. Now when Jesus, verse 5, had lifted up his eyes and saw a great multitude, a great company come to him, he saith unto Philip, now Philip is one of his disciples, He said, where shall we, you know, buy bread that they may eat? Now, you know, so he asked Philip a question. I like this part because, you know, the other gospel writers, they gave this account a little bit different, you know. But, you know, I like this account. You know, he asked Philip a question, you know. But look at the next verse. But this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. See, the Lord already knew what he was going to do. But he was going to ask Philip a question. Say, look, there's all these people here, thousands of people. Where are we going to buy food to feed them all? You know, and in other accounts and so forth, you know, some of them said that, well, let's send them back to the city and so forth so they can go get food. And Jesus said, well, you know, and so some of them reasoned among themselves, that, look, we are too far away from the city. The malls are closed or whatever. By the time they get to the stores, it will be closed, you know. And Jesus said, give them to eat, you know, so... And then they, you know, they begin to say, so Philip answered and said, look, even if we took out, you know, like 200 penny worth of bread, you know, and it won't be sufficient for them to just get a little bite each. You know, how are we going to feed all these people? You know, of course, Jesus already knew what he was going to do. You know, so one of his disciples, Andrew, you know, who was Peter's brother, so he came to Jesus and said, look, I've got a young lad here, you know, when they were going out and heard that Jesus was, you know, preaching and so forth like that, and doing all kinds of teaching and healing miracles. You know, everybody wanted to go. So this young lad also wanted to go and so forth, you know. And then, well, maybe his mom packed him a little lunch and said, okay, just go with the crowd and be safe now and come back when everything's gone. You know, and so forth. Like that. So the mother packed him a little lunch, just a sack lunch. Got a, you know, a few fishes in there and a few loaves and so forth, barley loaves he had in there and so on. That's all he had. So they asked around, you know, and, you know, everybody was out of food because they had been there for a long time, you know, but this boy still had his lunch, you know, so they said, well, we got this lad here in verse 9, which has just, you know, 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, you know, and you know, what are they among so many, you know, and they said, well, it's this little boy's lunch, you know, well, what the little boy said to them, well, you know, if Jesus wants it, he can have it, amen, yeah. Amen, somebody, yeah. So one of the disciples said to him, well, you know, I think Jesus wants your lunch. No, that's all right. You know, he can have it, you know. So he let Jesus have his lunch. And the Lord, you know, the Lord just smiled, you know, and said, all right, well, that's cool. You know, let them all sit down. You know, sit them all down. He told them, let them sit down. And then when they sat down, they sat them down by companies and so forth like that. And, you know, the number of the people that sat down was about 5,000. And another account said, well, you know, that's not even counting the women and the children. You know, so there were just thousands of people that sat down. And so Jesus, he took the little boy's lunch in verse 11. And when he had given thanks, hallelujah, when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples. And the disciples distributed to them that sat down, and likewise the fishes. He did the same thing with, you know, bread and fishes, and the, you know, and everybody ate. You may have read this story before, or, you know, in various parts of the Gospels. And after they were all filled, he said to the disciples, gather up the fragments that are left, so that nothing will be lost. You know, so at the end of the day, they gathered up, you know, about 12 baskets. My goodness. So, you know, all the baskets that people had that they carried their food and water with them that had been empty, you know, all the time, you know, they had been there, they ate all those things up. You know, they used the baskets to gather up all this remaining stuff that Jesus had left over from just the little boy's lunch. And there were 12 baskets left over. You know, and I want to ask you this question. Who do you think those 12 baskets belong to? I just want to ask you. Maybe you've never thought about it. Of course, the little boy that gave them the lunch to start with. Amen? Yeah. Amen, somebody? Amen. He gave his lunch, a little lunch, to Jesus. And Jesus used that lunch to feed everybody, and the boy gets 12 baskets back. Hallelujah, somebody! You know, but, you know, it was only his lunch, and that was all he had. And the Lord is proving a point here, and he said, look, what you have is enough for me to walk with. You know, don't worry about anything else. So I walk with what you have, what you already have. And as a matter of fact, I want to show you something else that you may not have thought about. Now listen, and let me read to you verse 11 again. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. So, you know, there's another account of this in Matthew chapter 14, you know, that describes this. And like I said, you know, all of the Gospels, you know, had the same thing. Now, in Matthew chapter 14, verse 19, and he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, you know, so we see 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. See? So there was a progression there. You know, so Jesus, he took just the boys' lunch and gave thanks and gave it to the disciples. He just broke and gave it to the disciples. Now, let me tell you something here, in case you may not have thought about it. You know, I can break, and any one of you can break, you know, 5 loaves into 12. It's no big deal. Hello? I can take 5 loaves of bread and break it into 12 pieces. That's no big deal. It's no big miracle in that. Anybody can do that. You know, I can do that. Can you do that? Yeah. You know, I can take 5 loaves of bread and cut them into 12 pieces. That's easy. You know, but I want to tell you something. The real miracle happened in the hands of the disciples. That's what I want to tell you this morning. Every disciple that had a piece of bread that Jesus broke, which wasn't any big deal to break 5 loaves. It's no big deal. You know, he gave a little piece to Andrew, 1 piece to Peter, and 1 piece to, you know, this and that, and said, give it to the disciples. The miracle of multiplication happened in the hands of the disciples. Hallelujah, somebody. Because as the disciples were giving of what they had, the thing just continued to multiply. And God was using what was already in their hand.
Amen.
The little piece of bread that Jesus gave to the hands of the disciples, God continued to use it as long as they continued to believe.
Hey,
hallelujah, somebody. You know, and until everybody was there, and they were looking, my goodness, you know, give a little piece, and then the thing was still there. They gave a little piece, and it was still there. And they are going in their minds, we've seen everything, but we never seen anything like this.
Yeah.
You know, and they continued, and, you know, I'm sure they were having a good time. They were having a ball. It was like, my Lord, you know, I mean, we can do this picnic anytime. You know, we can get this kind of food and so on. You know, so the miracle was happening in the hands of the disciples. Partners with God in creation. You know, God was multiplying the food through the hands of the disciples. It was already in the hands because Jesus already blessed, and it was in their hands, and God was through the hands of the disciples multiplying the food to the thousands of people. How many of you can get that this morning? Hallelujah. Jesus only needed to give the blessing once. And Jesus needed all to break the bread only once. But the disciples broke the bread multiple times to go among the thousands. When Jesus finished giving to the disciples, he was just sitting down resting. You know, and then the disciples, 12 of them, went among thousands of people. You know, breaking the bread, and the thing was just multiplying. But just continued to multiply. Blessed be the name of Jesus. You know, the little lunch turned into something that fed thousands of people. And even gave a return of 12 baskets back to the little boy. Because he was the one that gave up his lunch in the first place. Now, there's another story. There's a couple more stories I want to tell you here. There's another story found in 1 Kings chapter 17. Now, this is the story of Elijah the prophet. The Bible calls him Elijah the Tishbite. You know, and of course, Elijah went up against the prophets of Baal, Jezebel and so forth like that, and Ahab. He went up against them, and there was famine in the land, and so on and so forth. And when God told him to go over to some brook, and God sent him raving to feed him night and day, at some point in time, the brook dried up. And the Lord said unto him, here's what the Lord said unto him in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him again, saying, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there, because I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, this is what the Lord said. I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. Of course, you know, Elijah didn't know anything about it until the Lord said it. And I guarantee you, the widow woman herself probably didn't know anything about it, but the Lord already commanded it. Hallelujah. God has already commanded your blessing, if you can believe it. And the person that is going to bless you may not even know it yet. But God has already commanded it. Hallelujah, somebody. So God told him, and so he left. You know, and I've said this before. Let me throw this in. You know, while he was by the brook, God sent ravens to bring him. You know, you can read it in verse 4. You know, the ravens have commanded to feed it there. And so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. And verse 6 of 1 Kings 17. The ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Now this was, you talk about room service. This is some kind of room service from ravens. Amen? Praise God. Elijah, all he had to do was believe the word of the Lord, and God was sending, you know, sending him food. He didn't have to do anything. You know, God was bringing him food. You know, but, you know, at some point in time, we're told that the brook dried up. Yeah. Hallelujah. Because there had been no rain in the land. In verse 7, the brook dried up. And I have said this before, and I'm going to say throw it again in here in this message. The Lord that sustained Elijah the whole time that he was there, bringing him raven, you know, using the ravens to bring him food and so forth. I'm going to ask you this question. Could not the Lord have prevented the brook from drying up? Hello? The Lord could have prevented the brook from drying up, but he did not. Praise God. You know, so there are times when your brook will be dry and God wants you to move to somewhere else. Hallelujah, somebody. But if you are stubborn-headed and you don't listen to the Lord, you will just miss the blessing. And God was fixing a 2-for-1 blessing. A blessing for Elijah and a blessing for the widow woman who didn't even know it just yet. But the Lord already commanded. So he allowed the brook to dry up, you know, and said, well, you know, that's over with. You know, go somewhere else. Praise God. You know, so there may come a time in your life that the brook dries up and God wants you to move on to something else. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But if you are not sensitive to the Spirit, you may not catch it. So anyway, this man of God, he went to this place, and as he was going, you know, when he got to the, in chapter 17 of 1 Kings verse 10, so he came to this place called Zarephath. And he came to the gate of the city, and behold, there was a widow woman there that was gathering some sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. So she, you know, so she just said, okay, well, here's a stranger. Well, you know, I'll get you some water. So she went to get water. And as she was going to get water, he called after her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in your hand. You know, don't just bring water. When you're coming, bring me a little cake too so I can eat. Because, you know, I've been on this journey for a long time, you know, and I'm hungry here. You know, and she said to him, as the Lord thy God liveth, I don't have a cake, you know, but just a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. That's all I got left. You know, this famine has been on for, you know, 3.5 years or whatever long it's been there, and we don't have anything else, you know, in the house. And I'm just gathering these two sticks, you know, so that I may go and dress this meal. This is our last meal, myself and my son. We're going to eat this thing and we're going to die. She had no knowledge of what God had already commanded. She knew nothing about what God already set in motion. You know, but Elijah did. You know, but she said, look, all I got left is, you know, this little thing in the house. And the man of God said, well, that little thing that you got in the house, that is enough. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. You know, what is in your hand? What is it that you have? Is it, are you down to your, what you think is your last meal? Are you down to what you think is your last $1 or whatever it is that you have? You know, what is in your hand? What is in your hand this morning? Well, let's follow the story here. So, you know, Elijah told the woman, he said, look, you know, Elijah said unto her in verse 13, fear not, go and do as you have said. You know, go make your food and all of that, you know, go make the cake and so forth. But when you finish making it, bring me thereof a little cake first. Amen? Bring first for me. My goodness. Elijah said, bring first for me, you know, and so on, you know, and then after thee, make for thee and for thy son. Well, You know, so, you know, and then, you know, and but he now backs it up by the word of the Lord. You know, this is a powerful statement right here in verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Hallelujah. The barrel of milk that is in your house shall not waste. Neither shall that little cruse of oil that you think is the last that you have, it shall not fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. You know, so you just go and do that and just bring me first a little one. And that very little thing that you have shall continue to sustain you for the rest of the famine. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. And she went and did according to the word of the Lord and so forth. And she, you know, and so on. And she did that and brought the cake and so forth. And the barrel, verse 16, of meal wasted not. Neither did the cruse of oil fail. That means the thing, you know, all she had left was a little, you know, little flour. She was going to bake, you know, the cake with a little oil, baking oil, and that's all she had left. Just enough to bake, make one serving, and that's it. You know, but when she obeyed the voice of the Lord turned that into an abundance. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
You know, so, and then she ate of it many days, the Bible said, and according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. Praise God. So what is in your hand this morning? What do you already have? You know, and I'm not talking about giving an offering. I'm not taking up an offering this morning. You know, because, you know, in case you think I'm talking about, no, I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about what is in your hand. What does God want to do for you? The beginning of your miracle is already within you. Now, everything that God did, even in nature teaches you that, you know, when you need healing, the beginning of your healing is already inside of you. You know, that is why if everything is working right in your body, when you have a little cut in your hand, it will heal itself after a few days. Amen?
Right.
Because God already put everything you need inside of you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
You know, but, you know, if through foolishness and lack of wisdom, you don't take care of your body, you don't put the right stuff in there and so forth, then some of those things wear down and they, you know, wear away and so forth, and they don't work as intended. Then doctors have to help you. Then the healing power of God has to help you and so forth. But if you do everything just right, you know, God's already put everything in this body to sustain itself.
Right.
Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
That's right. You know, but in, just in case it doesn't, then here comes the power of God to heal. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm going to tell you another story before I tell you something else too. You know, 2 Kings chapter 4. There is another story of a woman. Now this time it's Elisha. The first one was Elijah. Now this one is Elisha. So this is Elisha now, and he's dealing with much the same things that you know, that Elijah did, and we know the reason for that. You know, but anyway, he said into the one of the women. Here is 2 Kings chapter 4. Now they are cried unto. This is 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. There cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that thy servant did fear the Lord when he lived. You know, and now the creditors, you know, my goodness, you know, they come, you know, they come to impound everything that she owned, you know, because she couldn't pay her bills. Hello? Some of you might resemble that remark. You know, maybe the creditors are coming against you to repossess, you know, because you couldn't pay your bills. Well, you know, perhaps if you would use wisdom, you wouldn't be in that situation in the first place. But nonetheless, you are in the situation, and the Lord, you know, the Lord is going to tell you this morning, what is it that you have? Well, let's listen to the story. So Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for you? You know, tell me, what is it that you have in the house? Why is it that in every one of these cases, God is asking this kind of question? What is it that's in your hand? What is it that you already have? What is it that you have in the house? Why is it that he's doing that? You know, because God can walk with a very little that you already have.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, somebody. You know, don't think that, you know, God, you know, well, you know, I can't, you know, God can't do nothing more for me and so forth. Yes, God can walk with the best. Even if you have your last breath. Well, there's nobody in here that has their last breath, but somebody might be listening to this message because we do record it and put it on the internet. You know, maybe they'll play it for somebody, and even if they have their last breath, God can walk with that. Amen? Hallelujah, somebody. God can turn what you think is done, gone, and bring back new life.
Yeah.
Just like the message from last week, the scent of water. All he does, all, you know, the Holy Ghost, he knows how to do that. They're more than anybody else. You know, that he specializes in that department.
Amen.
You know, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So, you know, I don't know, you know, I'm excited about this, but I don't know, you know, I'm not getting a lot of hallelujah shouts from anybody, you know. So, but I'm excited about this, praise God. So let me read the rest of his story to you and so forth. So, you know, she said to her, you know, to him after he said, what do you have in your house? Well, she said, Lord, all I, you know, I don't have anything in the house except a pot of oil. But she, so she'd already given up. She said, look, all I have is just a pot of oil. Just like the other one that said, oh, I only have a cruse of oil and, you know, a barrel of milk. You know, just a little thing left, you know. And she said, well, that's all I got left, you know, pot of oil. And I don't have anything else. How am I going to pray all these creditors and so forth? Like, my husband is dead. You know that he was a man of God. He loved the Lord and so forth. But we can't pay all these bills. You know, I wasn't working and so forth. And then I got all these things to deal with, you know, and so forth like that. And the creditors are here. They want to take away my children to slavery and so on. You know, what am I going to do? So the man of God said, look, here's what you're going to do. The pot of oil that you have in the house is exactly what God is going to use to solve your problems. Hallelujah, somebody. That's right. What you already have is what God is going to use to meet your needs. That's right. It's already there. It's already, even Jesus himself said, look, the kingdom of God does not come by observation, but the kingdom of God is within you. The very power is already in you. That's right. You know, in fact, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, it said, look, you know, we don't need to go look for Jesus in the grave because he's no longer there. He's already risen. We don't need to go to heaven to go and bring him down in order for him to do anything for us. He said, but the word of faith is already in your mouth. Hallelujah. It's already in your mouth. All you got to do is speak it forth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, somebody. What God is going to do for you is already within you. So he tells this woman, he said, look. He said, well, what do you have in the house? He just poured over. Do you have any pots? He said, no, I don't have any pots. Said, that's all right. That one pot is okay. But go to your neighbors and borrow some pots, not a few. And borrow as many pots as you can from your neighbors. And the woman said, borrow pots. You know, I don't even talk to them very much. He said, don't worry. This time, just borrow those pots. And so for tell them, you'll give it back to them in a day or so. You know, a few days. You know, so she, I said, what do I do? He said, well, when you've got all those pots in the house, you know, send your kids and so forth, you know, and then lock the door. And take the oil that you had in the house to begin with, the little oil which you thought was nothing, take that oil and pour into each one of those pots. And when the one pot is full, set it aside and pour into another one. Hallelujah, somebody! And she kept doing that. And then, you know, so she said, okay. So she went, she told her sons, go down the street, get me some more and so forth. And the sons kept bringing the pots and so forth. You know, and then she would keep pouring. I said, my goodness, you know, I've never seen anything like this. And she kept doing it. And then it kept, you know, the pots kept getting filled up from this one little pot of oil that she had. You know, and Elisha had instructed her. I said, look, when all the pots are filled, go sell all of that oil and then pay your creditors and leave off the rest. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. God already has solution for everything. Right. Praise God. And I want to tell you something. Some of you are looking for, you know, the heavens to open for God to meet your needs. Well, the way that God is going to meet your needs sometimes has already begun inside of you. God uses natural means to do supernatural things because he is God. Hallelujah. One of my favorite examples, every time I say that, is the child Jesus. When he was a little child and his life was in danger because Herod was going to kill all the kids because they thought there was a king that was arising. So he was going to kill all the kids and so forth. And the Lord, through a natural means, saved the life of the child Jesus. He told Joseph by a dream, said, look, take the child and go into Egypt until they that seek his life is dead. He used natural means. I mean, just natural means to save the child's life. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. He could have sent legions of angels blazing from heaven, and he didn't do that. Because sometimes God will just use some natural things, amen, to do supernatural things and to bring about his purpose in your life. You know, so sometimes the miracle that you are looking for, that you are looking elsewhere, is already inside of you. So this, you know, God told this woman, you know, do this thing, fill up the pots and so forth like that through the word of the prophet, and then sell and pay your debt and leave up the rest. And my goodness. So finally, when she said to the kids, you know, bring me another pot. And they said, we exhausted all our neighbors. We don't have any more pots to give you. And then, and only then, did the oil stop. The oil only stopped when there was no pot to put it in. As long as there was pot, and as long as they kept bringing the pot, the oil kept flowing. Hallelujah, somebody. Praise God. Look, I tell you something. You know, I don't like to talk too much about myself when I preach the word. I just like to preach the word. You know, some people like to tell stories about themselves and so forth like that. You know, but I'll tell you something. I have found this truth in my life. Praise God. You know, as long as there is a need, hallelujah, I believe God and God takes care of it. And I just move on. Praise God. And now, you know, God is faithful. And I have never lacked anything of all of the goodness of the Lord because, you know, I keep believing. Yeah, praise God. And I always look, you know, I always look for what God is going to do. You know, some people say, well, when one door closes, look for an open window. Amen? Praise God. God will always have an answer. Praise God. You know, and I said this before, and I'll say it to you again. You know, when I was a young man, I used to play championship chess. You know, it's a thinking man's game, and I love that game. Anybody ever play chess? Anybody? Let me see some hands. You play chess? Well, you know, okay, I see a few hands. I used to play that and so forth like that, you know, when I was in college and so on, you know, and, you know, but you have to know how to calculate your opponent's moves even before they make the move. Amen, somebody? That's how the game of chess is played, you know. And then when you make one move that they cannot make any more moves, it's checkmate, brother. It's over. Well, I'll tell you something. This is the difference between the devil and the Lord. See? And this is the difference between the great chess players and the not so great, the mediocre ones. The mediocre ones have to wait for the, you know, for somebody to make a move. And then they try to figure out the next move. Well, the great chess players, they can think many moves ahead. You know, they can make one move and they've already computed in their mind all the moves that you can make. And that's it. You can't do anything else and it's checkmate. You know. And one day, one of these days, I'm going to preach that message. The Lord gave it to me and he told me it's not time. But the Lord, see, and the devil. See, the devil has to wait for God to make a move for him to foul it up. You know, he won't wait for God, you know, and so forth. But God has already known all the moves that the devil's ever going to make. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. Every move from now till the end of the age that the devil is going to make, God's already known it. And God will make one move and it's checkmate. Can't do nothing. I know what that one move is. You know, I'm not saying it this morning, but there's one move. You know, but what I'm saying this morning is this. Look. God has already known everything that's going to happen in your life. Because his mind is beyond the greatest of all chess players. Praise God. You can put all computers in this world together. You know, it's nothing against the mind of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You know, because God doesn't have to compute anything. He already knows it instantly. I mean, he already knows it. He doesn't have to compute anything. The computers still have to compute. God doesn't have to compute nothing. Praise God. If only you can understand how great that statement is about the Lord. God doesn't have to compute anything. And God cannot acquire any new knowledge. The day that God, quote unquote, acquires any new knowledge, well, he will cease to be God. He cannot acquire new knowledge. Hallelujah. He is the Most High God. He knows everything that there is to know. And even the things that are not yet done, he already knows the end of them. Hallelujah, somebody. Give him another praise in hand. Hallelujah. The things that have not yet occurred in your life, God already knows the outcome. That's how great he is. And if you can only believe that, praise God. You know, so the situation that you are facing now, God has already made provision. He's already done it. Praise God. It may be a little something that's in your hand. You know, but, you know, God doesn't appreciate people that don't trust him with what they have. You know, if you don't trust God for a solution to your problem with what is already within you, God doesn't appreciate it very much. I'm going to tell you another story here in Matthew chapter 25. Jesus, he loved to tell these parables. you know, to illustrate things about the kingdom of God. And Jesus would use simple, I've always said this, every time that the Lord preached, he never used great, big, great grammar words that nobody would understand. He just used simple words like wheat, corn, serpent, scorpion, stone, bread, egg, you know, all of these. These are just simple things that he talked about, but they were profound statements that he was making. And in this chapter of Matthew 25, from verses 14 to about 30, he tells a very profound story, but he used very simple illustration, just like he always did. Well, he said the kingdom of God is likened unto a man and so forth like that, called his servants who were going on a long journey and gave them some talents. And he gave the one, you know, he gave the one five, he gave one two, and gave another one and so forth like that, you know. And then he said, occupy till I come. So the one that had received five talents went and traded with it and made five more talents. Got 100%. You know, likewise, the one that had received the two talents and so forth, you know, went and traded with it and, you know, got, you know, another 100% of his return. Well, but there was this one fellow. He was actually, you know, a rough guy. You know, I like to call him one little rough fellow in there, you know, and so forth. You know, he had received one talent. But he felt it was too little. He thought God couldn't do anything with that one talent that he had. You know, but I want to ask you this question. What is in your hand this morning? What is that little talent that you already have that you thought God couldn't do nothing with because you are not the pastor? Hello? Hello, somebody? You don't have to be the pastor. You don't have to be this or that. You know, but God has already put something in your hand that he wants you to use. And you are going to use it or you are going to lose it. Hello, somebody? Well, this disciple, this one guy, you know, and so forth, he said within himself, well, you know, how come that one has five talents and all these things and this other one has wonderful gifts and so forth like that? And I just have this little thing and I can't make a difference. I can't make a difference. That's what he thought. Well, you know, he thought he couldn't make a difference. So he said, well, I'm going to go just bury this talent. I'm not going to do anything with it. So he buried his talent. Well, guess what? The day of reckoning came. And when the master came, he called them and said, now it's time for you to give account of your stewardship. So the first one came and said, well, you gave me five, I made five more. And the Lord said, congratulations. Well done. Thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. The second one came and said, well, you gave me two and I made two more. Well, I also made 100% just like the other guy. They both got exactly the same commendation. God didn't say, oh, well, because you had five, you made five, and this guy only made two. Well, the one that had five made five. The one that had two made two. They did exactly the same thing. Amen?
Amen.
Because to whom much is given, much is required. You know, and so forth. So it was a percentage, 100%, they both did. And so this other one came and said, well, you know, I know that you are a very difficult man. You like to reap where you don't sow, you know, and so forth like that. You gave all these people all these wonderful talents, and I have nothing to do, you know, and so forth like that. You know, so I do nothing, you know. And the Lord said, so where is my money? I said, well, I went and buried it in the ground. I said, buried it in the ground? You could have at least put it in the bank, and I would have gained some interest when I came. He said, well, go get it from him. They got it from him. He said, give it to the one that has 10. Hallelujah, somebody. And they said, my Lord. You know, he said, he already has 10. And Jesus said, that's right. He that hath shall be given more. That's right. But he that hath not, even that which he seemeth to have, shall be taken from him. And get rid of the unprofitable servant. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Because he thought, you know, he couldn't do anything with the little that was in his hand. You know, what is in your hand this morning? What is it that you are believing God? Lord, I tell you something. You know, you might be in business. You might be a student. I mean, this message covers every sphere of life. Whatever it is that you want the Lord to do for you, he's already planted the seed in your life of what he's going to do.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. Praise God. You know, I mean, just look at all of the scriptures, you know. All of the scriptures, you know, the people that God, you know, used and so forth like that, there was already something in their lives. that was there. You know, God only had to develop it, you know, and so forth, help them to develop it, and so forth. It was already there. You know, because God is the great creator. And he doesn't just, you know, think that he's going to do something in your life when you are 15 years old. Or when you're 20 years old, or when you're 30 years old, and then God begins to scramble and begin to put some talents in your life. No, those talents were already there. You were born with it. You just did not discover. Or perhaps, you know, maybe you were too lazy. Like this lazy servant that said, well, I can't do anything. Maybe you thought you couldn't make a difference. You know, and so you buried your little talents and so forth. But whatever God wants to do in your life, he's already got it planted in you right from the beginning. Because he's the great creator. Hallelujah. And he already fixed it that way. You know, so, you know, and the miracle that you are looking for, you know, it could be financial as well. You know, it could be anything. You know, it's something that you believe in God for. Well, I want to tell you something. You know, the very thing that God wants to do for you, sometimes the beginning of that miracle is already in your hand. You just have to look for it. You know, and God always wants people to do something. There's another story I love in the Bible. One time they came to Jesus and said, you know, they said, they asked his disciples, you know, they said, well, Peter, you know, we know that you are a disciple of Jesus and so forth. You know, do you guys pay taxes? You know, so Jesus, Peter said, hold that thought for a minute. Let me go and ask the master. So Peter went to the master and said, hey, master, do we pay taxes? And Jesus turned around. I love Jesus. He likes to answer questions with questions. And he asked Peter another question. He said, well, you know, of whom do they collect taxes? You know, the strangers or the children? Well, you know, Peter said, well, strangers, you know, of course. He said, well, in that case, the children are free. You know, so we are the children, so we are free. He said, but nevertheless, you know, to fulfill all righteousness, lest any one of them say something against us, lest they say that we break the law, you know, well, I mean, you know, you pay tax for me and you, okay? He said, but here's what I want you to do. You go down to the sea. Hello? And go cast your hook into the sea. And the first fish, the first one that comes up, when you have brought it up, open the mouth, you're going to find a silver coin in that fish. You pay the tax for yourself and for me. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've always wondered, I said, Lord, Jesus could have snapped his hand and given him that silver coin just like that. You know. Well, how did the Lord know that that fish was going to be there? How did he know that that silver coin was going to be there? Of course, he created it. Amen. But he wanted Peter to do something. And it's going to give him some thoughts. From the time he leaves the place where Jesus is, he has to go back to his house and get his fishing gear. Then he's got to walk back down to the lake. He's going to be thinking about it the whole time. And he's going to have an opportunity on the way to doubt the word of God. That's right. He will have an opportunity to doubt in his mind. Well, is the coin really going to be there in the mouth of the fish? Am I going to catch any fish? You know, I remember sometimes I didn't catch any fish before. You know, I guarantee you, as he was going on the way, maybe the devil perched on his shoulder and said, you know, how do you think? A coin in the mouth of a fish? You got to be kidding me. You know, and he said, well, that's all right. There may not on every normal day be a coin in the mouth of a fish. But today, there's going to be a coin in the mouth of a fish. Because the master said so. Hallelujah, somebody. I'm going to find that coin. And they said, well, we'll see about that. You know, he got to his house, he got his fishing gear, and the first time he tried to throw the gear, maybe the thing was all tangled up. You know, nothing, you know, I said, I told you. And he said, well, don't worry about it. He said, the first fish, and I haven't brought any fish up yet. Whether the net is tangled up, I'm going to untangle the net. I'm going to cast this net. Amen. So he cast that net, and sure enough, because the word of the master, you know, when he speaks that word, all creation must obey it. Even the fish will obey it. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he spoke. You know, that was a coin. You know, Jesus already knew there was a coin at the bottom of that lake. And he spoke to that fish. Hallelujah. Go get that coin and bring it to Peter. Praise God. You don't think the Lord can do that? You don't think the Lord is a great creator and he's a master of the universe? Well, you don't know the Lord very much then. The Lord is the master of the universe. And the Lord, he will create, you know, anything that you need to meet your needs. But most of the time, he wants you to walk with him. He wants to walk with you. He wants to use the very little that you have in your hand that you think is nothing. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. The very little thing that you have in your hand that you think is nothing, that's what God wants to use. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, now, unlike most preachers, when they preach this kind of message, they're going to ask you to bring an offering and tell you that that's how God's going to be. No, that's nonsense. You know, I'm not talking about that this morning. Praise God. I'm not talking about you giving an offering. You already gave an offering. That's not what we're talking about. You know, if you're still thinking about how you haven't understood this message. I'm talking about whatever it is that you want God to do for you, the beginning of the miracle is already inside of you. You just got to look for it. Amen. Sometimes the beginning of that miracle is your prayers in the midnight hour.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Instead of you all crumbling and murmuring against the Lord, maybe you ought to get up at midnight and say, Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That could be the beginning of your miracle. You know, but there's something inside of you. In fact, the Bible says, let all that have breath praise the name of the Lord. Now, praising the Lord is not something for just believers. Hello?
That's right.
Well, I like to say thank you, Jesus, you know, when I'm around some unbelievers just to scare them off.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. Because the Bible commanded and said, let the people praise thee, O Lord. Let all the earth praise the Lord. Yeah. Everything that have breath, let them praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, whether you are a believer or unbeliever, whether you are a tree, you know, a bird or anything, you know, that has breath. Even the trees, they praise him. Hello? That's right. They praise him. Hallelujah. They swing in the wind and so forth. Oh, they praise. The Lord understands their language. You may not, but he is the king. Everything praises him. Praise God. So you ought to learn how to praise the Lord. That could be the beginning of your miracle right there. If you can praise the Lord in the night. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 16 and so forth like that, you know, Paul and Silas and so forth, they were in the jail, you know. But instead of grumbling about it, they began to praise the Lord at midnight. They began to shout the praise. They began to say, Hallelujah, Jesus. They began to say, I know the Lord is my Redeemer. Hallelujah. Oh, and the next thing you know, there was a great earthquake. The shackles were broken loose. Praise God. The gates of the prison couldn't hold them down. Thank you, Jesus. Now, there is something, the beginning of your miracle, that is already within you. And you, up to today, you probably didn't know how to use it. You know, and you may have a little talent. And you say, well, I can't do nothing because I'm not this big evangelist or this great pastor or this great man of God. Well, I've shown you from the scriptures today, use it or you will lose it. And when he takes it from you, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, finally. So you don't want to do that. You know, and if you are a student, you know, whatever it is that you are, you know, going through and so forth, maybe you challenge with all of the learning and so forth that you have to do and so forth. Well, you know, the beginning of your success is already within you.
Amen.
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 You just got to recognize. Hallelujah. Just like the psalmist says, God has made me wiser than my teachers. You have to recognize the spirit, you know, the excellent spirit that was upon Daniel. You have to recognize that God already giving you the understanding that you need. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Philemon, let me just read it to you real quick. You know, Philemon chapter, well, there's only one chapter. There's Philemon verse 6. It says that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Let me read that to you again. That the communication of your faith, this is how you get your faith working for you, may become effectual. That's how you get your faith working for you. By the acknowledging of every good thing which is already in you. Can I get an amen on that? The goodness of God is already within you. Praise God. You know, and it doesn't do you any good to hold on to that last thing and so forth. You know, one of the best ways for you to get a miracle of supply for yourself is to give away the last thing that you have. Not necessarily to the church, but to somebody who is in a dire, in a more dire situation than yourself. Can I get an amen on that? Yeah. Some people think that giving to the church is the only way that you give. No, not at all. You know, sometimes when you can't pay your rent, you know, you pay somebody else's rent that is poorer than yourself. And then you see what the Lord is going to do for you. I have proven it through in my life over and over again. I know it's true. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sometimes when, you know, you don't have enough to eat, well, you give away your last meal to somebody else. Hallelujah. And watch the Lord open the windows of heaven for you. Praise God. This is not all about giving money to some preacher and so forth like that. That's not what it's all about. You know, it is about you doing the things that God said in His Word. And it's about you believing the Word of God and acting upon it. And that word of faith that's already in your mouth, you should believe it and act upon it this morning. I'm going to ask you to lift your hands in prayer this morning. Praise God. And I'm going to speak like the man of God spoke in some of these situations. You know, and even like Jesus spoke to Peter. He said, go do this or go do that. You know, or the man of God said, well, you know, do this or do that, and the barrel of meal and so forth shall not fail. Praise God. Well, I have the great privilege and honor this morning to speak on behalf of the Lord. And I think that's a wonderful privilege. You know, I don't take it lightly at all, you know. I think that's a wonderful privilege, you know, and also you'll be accountable, you know, for everything you speak. You know, if I speak, you know, unadvisedly with my mouth, then God's going to hold me accountable. But if I proclaim the word of God in your life this morning, you know, I want you to believe it, and something is going to happen in your life. Now, you say, well, things are hard for me right now. Maybe I don't even have a job. Well, maybe I have a job, but they cut my hours. Maybe this or that. I don't know what all your situation is, you know, whatever it is, you know. Sometimes it's even, you know, it could be for somebody else that you are praying. It could be any number of things. But I want to tell you this morning that the beginning of that miracle is already within you. And God is going to reveal it to you when I pray this here this morning. And I'm going to declare the word of God. So if that's you this morning, I always like, every time I preach these kinds of messages, I want to give people a chance to believe God. And I'm going to give you a chance to believe God. Now, from the time that you step out from your seats and walk in the aisle and come down out here, that's faith. That's your faith already working. Well, you already have faith because you came all the way from your house to be here this morning. Amen? Amen, somebody?
Amen.
So don't let the devil cheat you now, you know, by making you sit down in your seats. I want you to come out here and believe God with me, and I'm going to speak the word of God that is going to multiply what you already have in your life. I'm going to speak that word. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, some of you are facing some obstacles, but God are already taking you through a similar obstacle or a much lesser obstacle in the past. And God's already giving you some experience through that. And He's going to reveal to you how that you can overcome the present obstacle. Because the beginning of your miracle is already within you. Now, I want to ask you this morning, what is in your hand? What is in your hand this morning? Some of you need healing this morning. You may need physical healing in your body. I'm going to ask you also, what is in your hand? You know, concerning the healing. What is in your, what do you have power to do? Well, some of the things you have power to do is to do the right thing for your body. Amen? Amen, somebody? You've got the power to do the right thing. You've got the power to eat right and exercise and stay fit. You've got that power. You can do that, you know, and that's already in your hands. Praise God. And you remember one time Jesus hit spat on the clay and just put it on the guy's eyes? You know, and so forth. Why do you think He did that? I don't have time to preach all of that this morning, but again, He's using the process of nature to work a miracle. There was something, there are some chemicals and some missing things in the man's eyes and so forth, and the Lord, He knew by walking the clay and so forth like that, He can do that and put it on, and He did that. There's something that God also wants you to do. Sometimes He told the man, you know, Naaman and so forth, He said, you know, go wash in the pool seven times and you will be healed. Sometimes he told the lepers, go and show yourself to the priest. You know, he always tells them to go do something. And God wants you to do something. God doesn't have any pleasure in lazy people. Hello, church? And I don't want to be around lazy people at all. And if you know anything about me at all, you know I'm not lazy. You know, praise God. God doesn't appreciate lazy people. So that's why he's giving us example after example of us getting up and doing something. And you got to do something about the situation. Praise God. The situation that's facing you, don't just take it like that. Do something about it. Do something about it this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. The four lepers that were outside, you know, and so forth like that, they said, well, you know, there is famine in the city and all of this, and we can't even go into the city because we are lepers and we are outcasts. If we stay here, we will die. And if we go to the camp of the Syrians, well, maybe we die, maybe we don't die, maybe whatever, but let's do something about our situation. Now, if you stay in the situation that you are in and do nothing about it, that situation is going to overwhelm you. But you have got to do something about it. You've got to take the step of faith. Praise God. Throw up your hands here this morning. Hallelujah. And I want every one of you to say, Lord, I surrender that which is already within me to you this morning, that you may take it and use it and to bring about a change in my situation. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I pray for your people here this morning. That which is already within them, the seed of faith that is already in them, the word of faith that's already in their mouth. Now, the word that I have spoken this morning unto you in the name of the Lord is a seed that is already within you. You must act upon that word. Praise God. When you go home and you're not feeling well, you should lay hands upon yourself. And you say, in the name of Jesus, I claim the healing. I command my body to regenerate. Hallelujah. That which is broken down. Praise God. And if you are not having success in anything that you are doing, I want you to lay hands on your body. Lay hands on your mind. I say, in the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. Praise God. And God is going to begin to honor your prayer and honor your word. Now hear the word of the Lord here this morning. That which is yet to be has already been. And the law requireth the thing that is past. But he that regardeth the clouds shall not sow. And he that observeth the winds shall not reap. And the sluggard that foldeth his arms shall be in want. But the one that shall arise and take hold on the name of the Lord shall have the victory. I remember the prodigal son, when he was wasting away his life in sin. One day he came to his senses and said, I will do something about this situation. I'm not going to remain in this place. I will go back to my father's house. I want you to determine in your mind to do something about your situation, not just when you are in church, but especially when you are not in church. When you leave from here this morning, throughout the rest of the day, do something about your situation. Hallelujah. And listen to the voice of the Holy Ghost, because he's going to prompt you. Now, Lord, move in the hearts of your people and give them the mind of Christ. A mind to understand. The Lord said, I will instruct you in the way that you should go. Psalms 32 and verse 8. and I will guide you with my eye. The Lord will instruct you and he will guide you. And the very little that you think is nothing, turn it over to the Lord and see how great things God can accomplish with a little. We have been told that one with God is a majority. And don't you ever think that you cannot make a difference. Turn your life over to the Lord and let him use you. And see all the great things that God can accomplish in your life. Lord, we thank you this morning. Let the word of God that is spoken into your life this morning, let it go forth and let it accomplish the purpose of God in your life. In Jesus' mighty name. And let your life never be the same again. The rod that was in your hand, if you are Moses, which you thought was just a stick, when the anointing of God came upon it, it became a rod of miracles. The miracles of God flowing now in your life, beginning this day and going forward, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Finances that you are struggling with, indebtedness and so forth like that, why don't you take a little that you have left that you thought is nothing? Find somebody that is of less privilege than yourself and do something good. Hallelujah. And let your giving come up before God for your remembrance. Hallelujah. So many people in the Bible, Cornelius, and many people, it was their arms that came up before God for a remembrance, and God remembered them. Thank you, Jesus. There was a woman in the Bible called Dorcas. She used to make coats of linen and give to people and so forth. And one day she died, you know. And God remembered all her gifts that she gave to people all her lifetime. And Peter was in that city. And she went and raised her from the dead. Just because of all the things that she used to do, the good things that she used to give to people and so forth. Why don't you give something to somebody? I'm not talking about giving an offering to church today. You already did that. Why don't you give something to somebody this week that is less privileged than yourself? And see what God will do. Let's give the Lord a hand clap in here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And if you have your last meal to eat, well, what good is it going to do for you to eat it? Give it to somebody else. If you have your last dollar, your last whatever, what good is it going to be? You're going to spend it and you'll be done. Give it to somebody else. Hallelujah. He that giveth to the poor, lendeth to the Lord. And the Lord will repay. Lord Jesus, let his words of wisdom this morning go with your people. Give understanding and grace. I want every one of you hold hands in this place. Everybody, hold somebody on the left and on the right. Hallelujah. And let me tell the devil something on this circle of prayer here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Hallelujah. That's you and somebody on your left and somebody on your right. But more importantly, that's you, the Lord, and me. Amen. Because I've got your back every day in prayer. Praise the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, as we join hands in this circle of prayer this morning, we know that you are with us always. And I want to tell the devil, just look at the anointing of God that's flowing upon these people and back off in Jesus' name. Praise God. You know, one will chase 1,000 and two will put to flight 10,000. Hallelujah. And why don't you take some time, even right now, and pray for the person that's on your left. Pray for somebody that's on your right. And why don't you take some time during the week? Never mind your own problems. Pray for somebody else. That's the beginning of your miracle, saith the Lord. The Bible says that the captivity of Job was turned when he prayed for his friends. Why don't you take some time and pray for somebody else instead of praying for your own problems all the time only? Pray for somebody else this week. Never mind your own problems. God will take care of your needs. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray for all the church here this morning and everybody that's in the sound of my voice. I may even hear this by recording later on. Let them understand this message. And let the mind of God go with them, Lord. At the beginning of the miracle that's already within them, let it spring forth. The Bible also says even our faith springing up to eternal life, right inside of us. Wells of water inside of us, springing up to eternal life. Blessed be the name of Jesus. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody says, praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we're going to close the service now. Don't forget, Wednesday night is our Bible study at 7 o'clock. If you can't be there, you can dial in and be here every Sunday for our services. Praise the name of Jesus. Let's throw our hands up and just bless the name of the Lord as we close the service.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord, for hearing us this morning. Thank you for putting wisdom in our hearts this morning. We give you praise. We give you glory, Lord. Oh, Lord, your name is wonderful. Your name is glorious. Your name is excellent. Hallelujah. In all the earth, there is none like unto thee. We give you all praise and all glory. And everybody says, amen. Let's share the grace together this morning. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Now, I want you to declare this part for yourself. It's already within you. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. And I want you every day when you step out of your house, when you take a couple of steps or you drive down the road, check over your left shoulder, mercy will be there. Check over your left shoulder, goodness will be there. They will follow you in Jesus' mighty name. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day and have a wonderful week. Amen.